It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
The highly anticipated total solar eclipse will be visible across a large portion of the U.S. on Monday, April 8th, covering several major cities such as Dallas, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Cleveland, and more. And I'm excited because I'll be traveling to Little Rock, Arkansas to witness this incredibly rare event. I feel really lucky because I was in Greenville, South Carolina for the last total solar eclipse in 2017. And I remember saying to everyone that I was making plans back then for this year's 2024 celestial event. Amazing. And here we are. A total solar eclipse is when the moon will pass over the surface of the sun and cast a shadow over the earth. And along the path of totality, the sky will go dark. My guest today is someone who is an expert when it comes to eclipses because Dr. Ali Bramson is a planetary scientist. She's also a professor at Purdue University. So let's get to it and learn about the eclipse. Dr. Ali Bramson, welcome to the Janice Dean Podcast. First of all, I want to ask you, how did you get into what you do? Why do you love studying the planets and planetary science?
Oh, I just think the planets are the coolest. There are these worlds that are, you know, in our solar system that are close enough to send robots to go explore. But yet they have all these otherworldly aspects to them. And I just find that fascinating.
When did you know? Were you at a young age where you were just like, I think I'm going to do this when I grow up?
It was before I even can remember my parents tell me that I said that I wanted to be an astronaut, that I wanted to do something with space as young as like 4 years old.
Wow. And so what was the trajectory?
So I went around saying that I was going to be an astronaut for forever until high school, when I realized that I didn't necessarily just want to go to space. I wanted to study it. And, you know, growing up, I didn't really know what the career options were to study space, which I think is why I grasped onto the idea of being an astronaut, because a lot of people think that's the one and only career path, or that's the only one they've heard of for space related, you know, careers. Mm-hmm. And so once I learned that you could be, you know, an astrophysicist or a scientist studying space, I realized that's what I wanted to do. And so I majored in physics and astrophysics in undergrad, and I kind of explored different options with space through different classes. And luckily I got into a summer internship at Arecibo Observatory down in Puerto Rico, zapping radar waves to asteroids and trying to understand the shapes of asteroids. And through that, I got to go to a scientific conference and present my results. And that's where I really got exposed to the field of planetary science as this, you know, sort of a little bit niche, but like subdiscipline within all of astronomy. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized this is what I want to do forever. It's not necessarily stellar astrophysics or, you know, doing supernova or, you know, the field of astronomy is pretty big in terms of lots of different subdisciplines. And it was the planets that, and really the combination of almost astronomy with geology. That's when I realized like, yeah, this is like the sub-discipline that I want to devote my career to.
That is very cool. You know, my son Theodore loves astronomy, and he always asks me, Mom, what's your favorite planet?
Yeah.
And, you know, it varies. For many years, I loved Pluto, and I still consider Pluto a part of that system.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
I know. And I just remember when Pluto was kind of being demoted and I got one of those t-shirts that said,
nice.
Yeah, that Pluto is still my favorite. Okay. So big event coming up, obviously.
Yep.
For some, it's the biggest celestial event we'll ever see in our lifetime. I was in Greenville in 2017 for the total solar eclipse, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. You know, people were crying afterwards. I just feel right. like it's a moment where we all kind of understand that there's something so much bigger out there than just all of us.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the solar eclipse?
So I'm really excited. This will be my second one. I also saw the 2017 one. I was in Jefferson City, Missouri. I drove all the way from Arizona, where I was living at the time, to Missouri to see it. And I was initially on the fence for that one, if I was going to do that drive or not.
Yeah.
And then I saw I read some quote which has stuck with me and which I'm repeating for this eclipse, is that if you're in 99.99% of a partial eclipse, mm-hmm. that's 0% of a total eclipse.
Wow.
And so I saw that and I was like, you know what? I need to experience totality.
Yes.
And because it's literally the difference between night and day, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a partial eclipse, even if you're 99.99%, the sun is so bright that 0.01% of the sunlight is still enough that, you know, it might feel like an overcast day. You might not even, you know, the sun is just so bright. And so really being in the path of totality where the moon completely blocks out the sun is just something that's so cool. And for me in my job, like I understand the why, like that's not a, you know, something that fascinates me, but it's like that human experience of, you know, the planets have been doing their dance and orbiting each other for so long. And that we get to experience just a few minutes, like kind of the brevity of the human experience of the, you know, the sky going dark
yeah.
in the middle of the day. And it's like you said, it's so cool to witness that sort of cosmological event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I it's hard to explain, really. It's just one of those events that everything else falls away, right? Worrying yep. about the kids at school or the project you need to help them with, or who voted for whom in the election, or it just all yeah. your neighbor next to you is experienced that same thing, and it's just a beautiful moment for 2 to 4 minutes where America is just like has come together.
Yeah, we're all part of it together, because, you know, a given path of totality really only covers like 0.5% of the surface of our entire planet. And so it's like, you know, those of us that are together in that small part of the planet, like we're in the right place at the right time experiencing it together.
Yeah, it's very cool. And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Okay, let's talk about the science. I also want to talk about the fact that if you are in that partial eclipse, like for instance, here in New York City, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think they're going to see complete darkness. And unfortunately, that is not the case at all. Like you mentioned, you could be in 90.5 or even 95.5 totality, and you're still really not going to see that difference. So this might yeah. disappoint people, but give me the answer.
Yeah, I mean, partial eclipses are still cool. You're not going to necessarily, you might not even know that one's going on if you didn't know about it. But you're still, if you look up with your, you know, safety approved solar viewing
yes.
glasses, you know, it's still really cool to see the disk of the moon passing in front of the sun. And you know, being in totality, that's where it passes directly in front of the sun. It blocks out all of the sunlight. And so in terms of the science of what's going on, it's really a geometry problem, not a problem, but, you know, you can understand with the orbits of the planets and how things move around it. You know, it's just so cool to think that at that moment, the moon is happening to pass right between us and the sun. And one thing that's cool that a lot of like heliophysics scientists or people that study the sun can do with the, in terms of the science, is that the sun is so bright, right? That, and the surface of the sun is so bright that we oftentimes, it prevents us from seeing what's called the corona, mm-hmm. which is the atmosphere of the sun. But with totality, the moon passing directly in front of the disk of the sun blocks out the light from the surface of the sun, and it will allow us to see what's going on with the corona. And it'll see like jets of plasma moving around the atmosphere of the sun and allow heliophysicists to study the corona in detail.
Mm-hmm. And so how often does a total solar eclipse happen? Obviously, here in the U.S., to have that path of totality with so many huge cities, that yeah. does not happen very often.
Yep. The next one. So at any given location, it's only once every like 400 years that a total solar eclipse will go over that location. So it's pretty rare. In the US, you know, we happen to get really lucky that we had one in 2017 and now one again this year. And it's going to be more than 20 years before the next one covers any part of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they total solar eclipses happen more often than that, but they oftentimes happen over unpopulated areas. You know, most of our planet is covered by oceans. So yes. oftentimes the you know, that 0.5% of the surface that can actually see it, it's over an area in the ocean where, you know, there's no people to witness it. And so the rarity is really that being in the right place at the right time, because it covers such a small percent of the surface for any given event.
Now, I also read that some places get lucky, like Carbondale in mm-hmm. southern Illinois. They saw the total solar eclipse in 2017, and they'll get another one this April, correct?
Yeah, that's, like I said, it's usually like a 1 in 400 chance. So the fact that they are in both paths of totality for the 2017 one and this one is exceptionally rare.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to be in Little Rock. And the thing is with that, we had to plan this trip 6 months ago because we knew back then it was going to be a big deal, even though people weren't talking about it. And the travel, you know, people do want to see this. They're going to book hotels. They are going to make their plans. They're going to bring their families. There's going to be traffic on the highways yeah. and the interstates. and so for me, I was looking at climatology, and Little Rock just seemed to be, you know, a better shot at not having cloud cover. Now, having said that, as we get closer to the event, it does look like there's going to be cloud cover, and we actually could potentially see some severe storms south of us in the Dallas area. So my challenge as a forecaster is, okay, you want to enjoy the eclipse, but there is the chance that it's going to be obscured by clouds, and there's even a chance that there are going to be thunderstorms in the area. So that's just, you know, that's the, don't get mad at your local meteorologist, because they want you to see the eclipse. They don't want to have cloud cover. But that is the most challenging thing that I think we have.
Yeah. I'll be curious what ends up happening. I know when I was in Missouri for the last one, you know, you look at the forecast coming up, and it's so hard to know like what it's actually going to be like at that moment. And luckily, you know, there was some clouds in the sky, but we were totally able to see it. So hopefully we all get lucky and yeah, it's not a super overcast day for any of us. I'll be in Indianapolis, just down the street for me here at Purdue. I'll be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for their big event.
That's amazing. Well, that's going to be fun, right? I was at a at a baseball game like in Greenville in 2017. So there was actual baseball game going on, and then the eclipse happened. It was a very American event, right? You have the baseball, and then the eclipse happens. Now, I'm going to try to be at a zoo because I guess scientists are also looking at what happens to animals when we have an eclipse. For instance, a rooster. Is a rooster going to cock-a-doodle-doo when the sun comes out again? I mean, is that something that's kind of cool?
Yeah, that's something that I was not expecting at the last eclipse. So I was in a park, and when totality happened, all of a sudden, like, all of the bugs in all of the bushes and everything surrounding the park started like buzzing as if it was twilight. Wow. And I was not expecting that at all. And that's something that still stuck with me, is like that part of the experience of hearing, you know, the bugs and the birds and the bats came out and were flying around. And I was like, wow, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. What kind of advances have we made when it comes to studying what's out there in the universe?
Yeah, the technology of the last several decades is just accelerating science at such a rate that it's really exciting to be kind of in this time of human history, I think. You know, with exploration of the planets through spacecraft and robotic missions, we're learning so much about these other worlds in our own solar system. You know, being able to send a robot to Pluto, you know, and being able to see the surface and see this is not just a cold, dead world super far away from the sun, but it's got convecting nitrogen ice glaciers and all these things that are so crazy to think about and so cool. You know, we're constantly learning new things about the planets. We're constantly learning new things about the universe. The James Webb Space Telescope is, you know, now operational and giving us amazing data to learn about, you know, the other parts of our galaxy. And, you know, there's constantly new advances happening that's facilitated by the advances in technology. And it's just, I think, a really awesome time to be a scientist and an awesome time to be kind of paying attention to what the new discoveries are in science.
Mm-hmm. I can't let you go without talking about don't look up at the sun.
Yep.
Because it is a thing. It's not, we're not just, you know, hysteria here. You can burn holes in your eyeball.
Yeah. Yes. So be careful. Get a pair of those solar viewing glasses if you're going to look directly at the sun. Yeah, I know that like Space Socks is a place online that sells really cool like space related you know, socks and earrings, and they've got glasses that I know are approved. And so, you know, try to find a pair of those safe viewing glasses if you're going to look up at the sun during totality or a partial.
Right. Especially the partial, right? Because you're not going to have that totality where you can actually take the sunglasses off comfortably, right?
Yeah, definitely don't just use normal sunglasses.
Okay, good. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I saw one of my colleagues doing a thing where he was talking about getting the sunglasses, and then he put on his regular glasses. And I was like, no, don't do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know, because it's true. I remember back in Canada in 1979 when we had an eclipse, you know, come close to the town that I was in. And I remembered it being seared into my brain, you know, don't look up without the special sunglasses. Now, when can you safely take them off if you are in that path of totality?
Anytime that you're not trying to look directly at the, you know, at the sun and what's going on with the moon passing in front of the sun, you don't need them, because then you're just looking around like normal. So mm-hmm. just if you're wanting to look up right around anytime kind of in the hours leading up to totality, or the time after totality, or during totality, you know, anytime you're trying to look up at what's going on near the sun in the sky, make sure you're wearing those special glasses.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be an event, right? It's not just the 2 or 3 minutes that you have of totality if you're in the path of totality. This is going to be an hour's event, correct?
Yeah. You know, it's not like the moon passes instantaneously in front of the sun. You know, we're able to like witness the, you know, those, that orbit of the moon as it starts passing in front and as it moves across the sky. And so you'll start to see just a little chunk of the sun that is blocked out by the moon. And yeah, it'll be the whole event will be a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. And people should be aware, obviously. I know there is, you know, some people are afraid to send their kids to school, but I think this is just a learning experience, right? It's just something that hopefully as parents, we can tell our kids, don't look up. You really shouldn't look at the sun, period. Yeah. But it is something that I think teachers can get excited about. I know that around here in New York City, everyone is very excited because it's north of us, you know, parts of Buffalo and Niagara Falls. They're going to have the path of totality on them. And it's going to help mm-hmm. tourism as well. And hopefully it will inspire scientists like you, Allie.
Yeah. You know, like I said, when I was a young kid, I was like already obsessed with space. And so just like seeing any events like this, yeah, you hope that it inspires other kids to want to understand our place in the universe and the solar system better.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Bramson. I appreciate your time. I know you're going to be busy. Enjoy the eclipse at the Speedway. That's cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited. Well, it'll be a fun event. I think we're expecting like 40,000 people.
Holy moly. And what kind of like, are you bringing equipment with you? Like telescopes? What do you bring with you?
I'm honestly just bringing myself and my glasses.
You and your eclipse glasses. That's good. That's excellent. Well, thank you again for taking the time out and enjoy the eclipse and you know.
Thanks, you too.
I hope the skies are clear. How about that?
Yeah, you too.
I'll work on it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Allie Bramson from Purdue University for sharing in our solar eclipse excitement that's happening on Monday, April 8th. And don't forget to get your eclipse glasses if you don't have them. There are do-it-yourself ones you can put together on your own using a cardboard box or a kitchen strainer. The University of Google can help you on that. These DIY inventions will project an image of the eclipse onto the ground or another surface that will be safe to look at, because as you've heard, you should not look directly at the sun before, during, or after the eclipse, because it can cause permanent damage to your eyes. And if you would like to find out more about the path of the eclipse and the weather you can expect in your area, foxweather.com has you covered in all things eclipse. There will be clouds along the path, and forecasting them even a day or two before in advance is tough. So just know that it could put a damper on the visibility, but it will still get very dark in the cities where totality is expected. And I will be reporting live from Little Rock, Arkansas, on the day of and the day after the Great American Solar Eclipse.
Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Hi. I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.